Hi everyone, welcome to the Our Covenant God study, part number 14. The last two lessons have dealt with Abraham offering Isaac up as a sacrifice to God on a mountain in the land of Moriah. This lesson completes our examination of this incident in Genesis 22. One lesson that we learn from Abraham is that faith without works is dead. James addressed that in his letter. I'm reading now from James 2, verse 14 to 26, in the New King James Version. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see, then, that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The truth is that although God did not order Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac to him, Abraham could not really have chosen to not do so. Why? Because if you really believe that God is a good God and that he has your best interests at heart, your actions have to be a reflection of the belief that you have inside of you. If Abraham had refused to sacrifice Isaac, that would have been the same as saying, God, I don't believe that your promises are true. I don't believe that you are really my covenant friend. But Abraham did believe God, and that is proven, how? By his obedience to God. In Genesis 22, verse 15 to 18, in the New King James Version, it says, Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. This dramatic finale is the statement by God as he swore an oath to be faithful as a friend to Abraham, just as Abraham had proved himself a faithful friend to God. Just as Abraham had offered up his son Isaac, God was promising that he would save Abraham's descendants even if they were unfaithful to him. No matter what, God would be faithful because of his friendship to Abraham. Time would prove that God would indeed be faithful to his promises to Abraham, even when Abraham's descendants rejected him as their king and served other gods. Ultimately, God would send his own son to die in their place, and it would be descendants of Abraham who would even demand that he die. To this day, God is still faithful to his friend Abraham, and he loves the Jewish people so very much. Even when people are unfaithful to God, God is still faithful to them, because he can't be any other way. Hebrews 6, verse 13 to 19 in the New King James Version says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." The writer of Hebrews tells us that God made this oath to Abraham for our benefit. You and I would never experience what Abraham had experienced. God never told us to slaughter animals and cut them in half as their blood poured out on the ground. We never saw what appeared to be a flaming torch and a smoking oven passing between those pieces. But one thing that we can hold on to is God's oath, his word. There can be no argument or dispute about this matter. It is final. God swore an oath. There is no more to be said, because God cannot lie. The matter was settled forever by God's oath. Everything that God swore to Abraham was a repeat of what he had promised before, except for one addition. He promised that Abraham's descendants would possess the gates of their enemies. Have a look at verse 17. In the New King James Version it says, "Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies." The gates of a city are the primary area of the city that needs defense. The rest of the city is protected by walls. The gates are vulnerable because they are openings in the wall. Whoever controls the gates controls the city. God was promising that Abraham's descendants would have military conquests. That would be essential in order for them to possess the promised land.